Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting across the table from Michael Goudeau. Just a couple of jugglers sitting around talking. How you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing very well. You?
I just called you Michael.
You did that.
Have I ever called you Michael in your life?
So.
I just always call you Goudeau. That's because, as far as
weird.
I can tell, everybody I know is named Michael.
That's right.
So I got to use last name.
We're all aliens. It's an alien race thing.
I also don't know how to pronounce your name, right? So some people say Goudeau. Some people say Goudeau.
It's Goudeau.
Goudeau. And yeah. I say it right.
You do it right. Yes.
Good. That's why. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Kelly.
Lance's birthday's coming up.
Yes, it is. March 10th.
Lance's birthday is March 10th. And how old will little Lancey be?
12.
Does he keep that secret?
No, I don't think he does. He's 46, I think.
46?
46.
He's a little older than that, isn't he? I thought he was like 48.
I think he's 46.
No, Copperfield's 48, right?
Let's give away all the magician's ages. Let's just start right off.
Well, we won't
magician's
give away,
ages.
You know, we won't give away Chris Angel's age.
That's the only one that's a secret.
That's the only one that's really a secret. And he gave it away on our show when he did the interview. Because he told us. Well, he told us. He was 13 when he saw Ricciardi at the Felt Forum. So it's very easy for someone with magic stuff to look through and find out. And I did find out. And woo-hoo-hoo, is Chris Angel old?
82.
82 years old.
82.
You know, he kind of plays this like,
he
you
looks
know,
good.
Yeah, he looks
for
very 82. Good. And, he has his hair and everything. I guess I have long hair, too. What am I talking about? And I also color my hair. You know,
there you
so
go.
There's really the differences between Wayne Newton, me, and Chris Angel are trivial.
They are trivial.
Doesn't matter at all. But Chris Angel is I think, is the only magician who cares about his age being out there. He does seem to care. And now that I'm dating Chris Angel,
you shouldn't be blabbing.
I don't want to do anything
up. You know,
we're going directly from here. We are going, I finish up here.
Right.
There'll be a limo outside. I will jog out to the limo.
Mm-hmm.
Camp I'm in love. And I'll get to the limo. And they'll drive me to the dry lake bed.
Can they drop me at Harris?
where I will meet Teller.
Right.
And we are doing the Chris Angel show.
Yeah.
The next
Lance,
season.
Lance did a
Chris
shot
Angel
with
show.
Chris.
Yeah, he did last year, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so did we. What did he do with him?
A week ago, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but I know that he has asked for his birthday.
Well, I want to get to that in a second.
Right.
I'm building up
don't
to that.
Don't want to rush into that.
I just want to paint a picture of Lance Burton first. 866-3... excuse me. I'm cracking up with emotion. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. Penradio@gmail.com. We are so eager to talk to anybody. Yesterday, woohoo! Yesterday
lots
was Hitler and Abortion Day.
That's right.
Today, let's go with cancer and Shaft.
Wow.
I want to talk about in a little while why, I mean, God hates the Reeve family. You know, if you postulate a God, the only thing we can tell from empirical evidence is that God hates the Reeve family.
Well,
God just sits up there in heaven going, Dana and Chris, what can I do to them? I will throw Chris off a horse and snap his neck like a little twig. Then I'll have him sit there making so much noise breathing that when I would see Chris, you know.
Right.
That, you know, just like this Darth Vader thing going on. And Chris was like the coolest, neatest guy. We had done stuff with him before. We were friends with him. And then saw him after the accident, too. And, you know, people like, I believe this is right. And this may be, someone should check me on this. And that's why, just so you know, listeners, you are here to check our facts. Every single one of you is a fact checker for this show.
That's right.
We're trying desperately to get
learn.
It right. We want to learn. We want to get it right. We just don't have the information. So everybody, please, I believe that Bill Maher, who is a friend of mine, who
yes.
I know, I did Politically Incorrect the first week it was on and the
right.
last week it was on. I believe I was the only one that did that. And I believe I had more appearances on both shows, from Comedy Central right across to ABC. I like Bill Maher. He's a good guy, but he is an animal rights guy.
Right.
And I believe he said something to the effect of, I won't get the exact quote, when Chris Reeve had his accident, I believe Bill Maher said it served him right for having slave horses. I think he did. I think he said that Chris Reeve deserved that accident. So Bill Maher and God agree on this one. And then Dana, okay? Dana, who Tammy Wynette, do not make me laugh. She stood by her man even when he could no longer stand.
Never
she
flinched.
Sat by her. She stood by her sitting man in the wheelchair. A great, great woman, really nice. Now a non-smoker, boom, lung cancer. Now, 10 to 15% of cases of lung cancer are non-smokers.
Sure.
But the public doesn't believe that. There's been so much propaganda. As a matter of fact, kids in schools believe smoking is more dangerous than it is.
Well, there you go.
We've now crossed over. So when the Senate said that the tobacco companies had to educate students on the dangers of smoking,
right.
I believe what that meant. If educating means teaching the truth, they had to teach them that it was safer to smoke than the kids believed. 10 or 50% Now, I saw one article. And, of course, the thing about Google is it pulls articles from places.
Right.
And it has so many sources that you can find serious nuts. And some nuts saying that her lung cancer was secondhand smoke from singing in cabarets all those years. You know, she was a cabaret singer. So she sang in cabarets where people smoked, and that's why she got lung cancer. I think a much more reasonable explanation is that God hates her. And God hates Chris. I don't know what they did.
Maybe he wants her at his side.
Maybe.
He works in mysterious ways, you know.
That's right. That's right. You know, we actually had Chris Reeve do one of the most blasphemous things in the world with us.
We did a show
over in England called The Unpleasant World of Penn & Teller. And the gag was that Chris Reeve came to us and asked us, could I teach him to do a simple magic trick? Could we teach him to, like, vanish a quarter? And we said, you want to learn magic, really, Chris? And he said, yes, I really do. So we opened the door to the magic circle. We went to the door of the magic circle. Inside was a studio. But it pretended it was the Magic Circle, which is the big hoity-toity magic club in London. We opened the door, we went in there, and there were, we said he had to sacrifice a virgin and kill a Christian baby and drink chicken blood. So we did this whole thing that you had to worship Satan in order to do magic.
Sure.
And Chris did all this, you know, Satan is Lord stuff.
Sure.
So maybe God was paying attention and didn't get our names.
His assistant said these guys are making fun of you.
There's a big fat guy, and there's a little quiet guy, and then Superman, and they were all making fun of you. Throw his ass off a horse and break his neck. And his bitch wife, too. No. Better yet, let's give her lung cancer. But she's a non-smoker, Lord. Oh, man. Really, two of the finest people I ever met. But I believe Bill Maher did say, I think he used the phrase slave horse and talked about
I got some quotes here from him, yes. I'm trying to find out where the actually relevant point
is. By the way, I'm getting to Lance Burton. We're going to come back around to that. But today the big topics are cancer and Shaft. Good.
If you try to make a horse jump over something that it doesn't want to jump over, I think it really should throw you off its back. You wouldn't want to go around with a monkey or something on your back all the time.
That's a Bill Maher quote?
Yeah. He did equate it to slavery, though.
That is not as annoying as I think the quote I'm going for. Someone will have that. And this is an odd thing because it puts me in an awkward position. You know, and that's what the world cares about. Try to keep Penn out of awkward position. Because I like Bill Maher. We get along great, and I love Chris Reeve.
Right.
So when Bill Maher made that statement, what the hell's wrong with you, Bill? Man, he broke his neck.
I think it's Chris Reeve's friend. You should have hit him.
I should have hit Bill Maher. You know, there's so many cases in my life where hitting someone would have been the right choice. But I've never done
that
it.
That pacifist
I've
thing.
I've never hit anybody. Have you ever hit anybody?
No.
You were in a hockey, though, weren't you?
Yeah.
So didn't you have to?
No.
I just got hit.
I was good at getting hit, not actually hitting.
Now, when you were on like a hockey scholarship or something?
Yeah. I didn't go, but yes.
Yeah, and one of the things you did was when they wanted to get someone into penalty box, they sent
insult
you out?
Them, yes. Yes. My gift for language would be enough that I could insult them that they would turn and hit me, and then they would be thrown out for, you know, at least 2 minutes.
Would you like talk about their mothers or their sisters?
I would talk about anything that I thought would make them mad.
So you really did pull out all
the stuff. Also, you know, there's this little pool cue thing you can do with a hockey stick where you just kind of slide it through your hands like a pool cue and kind of just poke them. It's really hard to see for the referees, but it's very, very effective for getting someone to hit you.
And then they would hit you right in the face? But you had all that equipment.
I had a lot of gear on, so.
And then they would get a penalty.
And they would.
And your team would ride
team would
to victory on your annoyance.
On my annoyance, yes, right. I was a very valuable skater.
So we're going out to the dry lake bed, and we're going to do, so he says, Chris Angel is going to do a setup. Where he says, I got to meet two of my idols in magic, you know, da-da-da-da-da. Right. And then he'll come out and he'll find us on the dry lake.
Unfortunately, Penn and Teller were there instead.
Yeah. And we're going to do the cups and balls,
Okay. Which
is the trick. Incidentally, it's kind of funny because the cups and balls, which we do with clear plastic cups and give it away, that's the trick that got us thrown out of the Magic Castle in front of all these organizations. And now we're doing it on shows. We did it on the Ford commercials. We did it on a few shows. And now... now
the magicians love it now.
Magicians, you know, we got letters saying, "Oh, that was good in the fourth."
That's right.
So seasons changed, and so did I. You need not wonder why. we're going to get to Cancer and Shaft, but Lance Burton, your boss.
Yes.
Your real boss. How long have you worked for Lance Burton?
20 years.
20 years.
A long time.
And every
I'm
year,
very fortunate.
Every year on his birthday, the staff buys him a present.
Yes. That's yes. Sweet. Yeah.
And he tells them what he wants.
He always tells us what he likes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is it usually?
For 15 years, it's been a VCR. I guess he's got a warehouse of them. I don't know what he's doing with the VCRs.
Well, no one uses VCRs anymore.
Right.
It's like, did you get
I think
a TiVo
last year? We got him TiVo. Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes, but this year, what is it? See, I know the answer. This is called setup in radio, when you know the answer.
Night vision goggles. I can't even imagine when Lance will need night vision goggles. Apparently, he has another career we're unaware of.
Now, night vision goggles are expensive.
And a wetsuit. I don't know what he wants. Yes. Yes.
Aren't they really expensive?
$300-$400.
Oh, $300-$400.
Yeah.
I thought they were like you know, $15,000 or something.
Well, you apparently been going to the wrong store. The Walmart night vision goggles are $400. I mean,
he wants to like act out Silence of the Lambs.
I don't know.
He?
You don't know.
He has like some weird.
He's got some plan.
He's got something going on. There's something like really. See, this is like one of the first times I've seen Lance Burton as sexy. You know, because he's going to put those night vision goggles on. There's going to be
creep around the yard.
Something involving raspberry jam and a kitten. I just know it. This is the most dangerous thing in radio. When you free associate and you just say stuff,
right?
And you just stuff comes out, and then after you've said it, you realize that maybe people will be able to do some of the work to figure back to what you were really thinking when you said it. Anything more on Bill Maher coming in?
Yeah, there's another quote. My favorite cause is animals. When Christopher Reeves had his accident, we did a show that was respectful and tasteful. I certainly in no way tried to suggest that I was glad it was happened, but I took it as animal abuse. Most people go, "Are you kidding? Horseback riding is horseback riding." So, and then it's the rest of the other quote. Of course, it's the rest of the same quote.
That's much better than what I remembered.
Well,
I think I read a thing in Vanity Fair or something that might have taken some of the Bill Maher stuff out of context. I like very much that he's saying that, you know, he's trying to be tasteful and respectful, because it is okay to have a very strong opinion that has something like, you know, you shouldn't be riding animals, and then still have compassion for someone's suffering. I bet Bill Maher is okay on this one, but man, it just, the idea that...
It's a good thing you didn't hit him.
It's good. See that? See that? It sometimes works
later
out.
Later it always comes back
thing.
That you shouldn't
night
hit him.
Vision goggles! You know why he wants those?
No.
So he can sit backstage and figure out how his own tricks are done.
We have infrared cameras for that.
So that's how they float the car. It'll be like,
You think, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I know you have the infrared cameras.
Yeah, we have infrared cameras. You can actually see some of the tricks on infrared, and it's really fun.
Yeah, I know.
It's really fun.
Backstage in your dressing room when you show. It's a tour, right? You can pay $100.
Yeah, $100. You can sit in my dressing room and watch the infrared of the show.
It's cool. And he put that in there to test tricks, right?
Well, so you can watch stuff happening in the dark. I mean, when you're the stage manager, you have to make
cues. He already has night vision.
And work.
At work.
He doesn't have night vision
at
home.
So we know this is a kink at home. We just know this is a personal
He's finally extended it from work to his home life.
Well, that's nice. Also, I do want to point out that Lance Burton does cut his own hair.
Yes.
He does cut his own hair.
By your definition, was crazy.
Yeah. Nuts. Nuts. Just
nuts was the word.
Nuts. And he cuts his own hair with a Flobee.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. He uses a Flobee. He uses a vacuum cleaner attachment to cut his hair. That's your boss.
It feels
That's
really
your
good.
Boss. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Do you cut your hair with a Flobee?
He's cut my hair with a Flobee. I know this is... That's the end
wearing
of that job.
Wearing his night vision goggles?
Not wearing the night
vision.
He hasn't got the night vision goggles yet. Not
strip,
till the 10th.
That's what's coming up. You're both going to have to strip naked. He's going to force you. It's sexual harassment. It's going to happen. He's going to make you strip naked.
As long as I keep my job.
Take you into a dark room. He's going to put a cutter on a vacuum cleaner. And he's going to come at you with night vision goggles. And he's going to cut your hair. Huh. That's what's going to happen to you, Michael
Goodell.
That's
your prediction.
But I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Okay. I'm
just going to ask you.
I'm going to ask you right now. I'll ask you right now. You work mostly for two people.
Yes.
You work for Penn Jillette and Lance Burton.
Uh-huh.
Which one is crazier?
Well, you know, you're both crazy in your own way.
Oh. You are so politic. You are so politic.
I'm not normally.
I know, but it's important here. You have a wife and two kids. And
I have to keep working, man.
Yeah, you have to keep working that way. So, yeah, that's all I thought this morning when Dana Reeve died. Was just, wow. God hates that Reed family.
It's sad. It's really sad.
And the other thing that bothers me about...
they have kids.
Just horrible. And I just don't know how you believe in a benevolent God. See, the random universe makes me feel better. Like, oh, just, you know, the genes lined up wrong. It's just bad luck. It worked out badly. I can hold on to that. But the idea that there's supposed to be a God that I'm praying to and God's choice, as mysterious as it would be, is to kill this wonderful woman who stood by Chris and is doing so much good in stem cell research. No, maybe that's it. Maybe God hates stem cell research.
Well, that's what George Bush believes.
Yeah, so. There are many people that'll tell you that. You know, but God works in mysterious ways. And as I've said many times, if I can keep score in mysterious ways,
you win.
I'll play golf against Tiger Woods.
Not exactly on topic, but here's another Bill Maher quote. If the economy is good, the president could be having sex with a horse and nobody would care. And why is that not abuse?
That's
slavery right there.
Yeah, well, I guess because the horse maybe likes it. That's what it says. You know, last time I saw him on TV, you know, they had the bottom third.
Right.
It said Bill Maher, hypocrite.
I think that should be our show title.
Penn Jillette. Hypocrite with Michael Goodell.
Right.
Liar.
Lance is always mad that you're so polite to callers.
Yeah. Well,
and your wife actually is mad about that as well.
Yeah,
you're so polite to the people that call in. And
maybe
in
that's why he wants the night vision goggles, to sneak over here and see my wife. is there any calls you want to take?
Well, somebody here wants to know. They've hung up. Somebody wanted to know how old I was.
How old are you?
I don't know.
No, how old are you?
46 also.
46? A couple
months older than Lance.
Yep.
So, 46. That answers that caller. We've avoided that whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing. The whole McGilla didn't have to happen.
It didn't have to happen.
You know, the other thing I want to talk about with Dana Reeve, this whole thing really troubled me, you know, and I don't want to act like I was friends with the Reeve family. I knew both of them and probably had spent altogether maybe 2 hours with them. So I like to make that clear, because when I see people on TV, like after Warhol died, there were people claiming to be Andy Warhol's friend that I knew, hadn't spent more than 15 minutes with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I wasn't friends with Warhol, but I knew them better than a lot of the people that claim that. And the same thing with Kurt Cobain. So I just want to say that I did not know the Reeve family well. Now I'll go on and say, Dana Reeve, you know.
Speak for them. Now I'll go on to speak for them directly.
Yeah. Now that I've said the truth, I'll go on and start lying.
Okay.
Everybody's talking about, if you look at articles like a month ago about Dana Reeve having lung cancer, everybody talks about how bravely she was fighting.
Right.
She was fighting bravely. If anybody can conquer this, she's going to conquer this. And there's this thing that happens, especially with cancer, but with all diseases. You know, when my mom got very, very sick, everybody was saying, well, she's such a fighter. She's going to be. And they think that that's a nice thing to say. But then there was that Onion headline that man ends cowardly battle with cancer. You know, man dies after cowardly battle with cancer, something
right,
like that.
Sure.
Probably not word for word, but you're here to fact check all of you people, so you check it out. And I really think that saying that someone overcame a disease because they were a fighter means that those of us who lose people that we love, what are we supposed to believe? They didn't fight hard enough?
Yeah, your mom
Nobody
was.
Could have fought harder than Dana Reeve. No one was better in her heart. No one was more beautiful as a human being. No one was more loving. And no one believed more that she could conquer stuff. And yet she died. Gilda Radner had all these positive thoughts. She was going to conquer it. She was going to do everything, and yet she died. Can we just say that random chance happens and really hurts people no matter how hard they fight? Can we just say that? And we'll be back to talk about more cancer and Shaft. Call in 866-313-FREE and join in our cowardly battle against cancer.
You're talking over the music. Why don't you wait a second and say it now?
Well, I was told they were giving it to me. They pointed to me.
They were lying to you. We can't hear you.
Well, no, you can't hear me because you don't have them. You can do the mix different, you know.
You know, my wife says the same thing.
What, you can't hear you over the...
Over the music.
So your wife's not producing the show?
Yeah, apparently. Sorry, Jack. Jack can keep the job. He brings donuts.
Gordon Parks died. Great director, did Shaft. Right. He's the black private dick with the sex machine. Who's the sex machine for all the chicks? Yeah. I have some problems, some quibbles with the lyrics to Shaft. Great movie. But I might get to that. In the great
Are they
tradition,
worse than Donkashane? That's the question everyone has.
Donkashane, Frosty the Snowman, Live and Let Die, and now I'm going to add to that list Shaft. Every once in a while, the stuff I really care about. We can talk about Hitler, you know. We can talk about abortion, but every once in a while, we talk about the stuff I really care about, which is lyrics. But I wanted to talk about this because it's something else I care about. There's a team of divers who discovered a new crustacean in the South Pacific that looks like a lobster, okay, and has silky blonde fur. Now, they were going to name it, you know, Crabbus Jonas Riverus, but they didn't.
They stayed away from that. Stayed away from that gag.
This is a furry lobster, people.
A furry lobster.
This is a lobster.
That's so cute.
I'm thinking, exactly. Cute is the thing I'm thinking. I believe that this is evolution at work trying to increase their chances of reproducing by avoiding boiling kettles.
Sure.
If they're so cute.
Cute animals.
Yeah, because the screaming thing wasn't working.
McCartney.
The screaming put in hot water was not bringing out the compassion of human beings. But Paul McCartney will soon, because they're furry, Paul McCartney did not give a good goddamn about a lobster. But now that they're furry.
Now that they're furry.
Mr. Live and Let Die.
I need one as a pet.
Of course. And they're blind, too.
Blind furry lobster. What could be cuter?
What could be cuter than that? They're blind, and so they won't notice Paul McCartney's drooping eye or his wife missing one leg. Well, I guess they would know that as she walked.
You could hear him coming.
But a furry lobster, that's a cool thing. There's not, you know, a lot of cool news today, but the American Medical Association, I just love it when the American Medical Association, who I'm cool with, I like them, right. They dislike chiropractors, they're okay with me, is warning women not to go wild during spring break, citing dangers associated with binge drinking and indiscriminate sexual activities. The AMA also said for that kind of behavior, you should really have a physician around. They really think that there should be
physicians directed.
Let in free at all wet t-shirt competitions, let in free for all binge drinking and indiscriminate sexual acts.
I'm all for that.
Hey, you know what time it is, Michael Goudeau?
No, I don't.
It's time for Goudeau's Choice for phone calls.
All right, let's
do you have one you like,
to
or is it all just jive?
Line 8. No, this is not jive. This is a real deal.
Okay.
We want to go to
line 8. I don't know what it's about, but we'll take it.
You'll find
out. I'll find out.
It's a secret.
Hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hey, Don. This is Penn. How you doing, man?
Hi, Penn. How are you?
Good, good, good. Thanks.
Good. I've seen you on HBO a couple times. I'm a cancer survivor myself.
Uh-huh.
About
what kind of cancer, man?
Years. I had head and neck and base of the tongue cancer.
You were not kidding around cancer.
I'm sorry?
That's not joking around cancer.
No, that's tough. I mean, I had 42 sessions of radiation, 42 sessions of chemo. Not fun at all.
I wouldn't think so.
But I was just wondering, I've seen you on TV a couple times. This is the only time I could actually get a chance to call you while I'm working. I collect autographs. Is there any way I can get an autograph of you guys?
Absolutely. Just stay on the line and give the people your address and stuff, and we'll mail you out some stuff. But talk to me. Since we got you on the line, we weren't talking about cancer. Who do you thank? Do you thank the doctors and the chemotherapy, or do you think that you being a fighter helped?
I thank my mother.
Thank your mother?
She was the one who, you know, was my caregiver. I mean, I would blame science and stem cell research and all that. I agree in it because it saved my life, because the chemo would not have been readily available for me. Everything just fell into place where all my chemo and everything else, which I could have had an adverse reaction to, but I only got sick once.
Wow.
But it's hard to say, Penn, honestly.
And you're totally in remission now?
I'm sorry, sir?
You're totally in remission?
For the most part, I still go to my oncologist every 4 months. Matter of fact, I have an appointment at the end of this month. Uh-huh. And he did a PET scan, which is a full body scan. Uh-huh. And I'm claustrophobic anyway, so they have to either give me a shot of Irish whiskey or something quick before I go in, because I get scared, you know what, out of it. And they found that it was nothing. I mean, the chemo and the cancer, I mean, chemo and radiation killed the tumor, and that's been 3.5 years.
Oh, man.
So,
congratulations.
Congratulations,
you guys. The 5 year is, I mean, I hopefully you'll still be on the air, because I'll invite you to the 5 year party, because I'm going to have one.
If there, if there's any way I can come, I will, Don. Thanks, man. And we'll send
Believe
you some
me,
stuff.
I know you would. But but like I said, when you look, you know, first of all, I was never a smoker or chewed tobacco or anything. Uh-huh. And they don't know how I got it. To this day, they still are dumbfounded because, you know, sometimes they say drinking, sometimes they say smoking, sometimes chewing tobacco. I mean, I drink now and then, but nothing would cause something like this. And it's usually an old person's disease. It's called squamous cell carcinoma, which is actually skin cancer, but it was inside near the lymph node, but not on the lymph node.
Oh, man.
And when the doctor tells you, this is no lie, Pen, when the doctor tells you on your 2 days before your 40th birthday, well, you know, you've got about a 45% survival rate and you have no health insurance, and you wonder, oh, this is Dr. Marcus Welby, I've got 6 months to live.
Uh-huh.
And he said, no, you will beat this. I promise you, you will beat this. And, you know, I mean, I go to groups all over the place to try and teach people that, you know, with the positive attitude and the strong support system, you can do it. Really.
Well, thanks a lot, man. And make sure you leave your address and stuff, and we'll send you some stuff, man. Thank you so much. You know, that's all I want out of people is for them to give credit to the oncologists,
right,
and the chemo and all that stuff. Because, of course, he needs a positive attitude. How many sessions did he say he went into?
40-something
sessions. Oh. I just want to read this. This is from a friend. It wasn't sent into the show, but it's from a really good friend, and it's exactly on this subject. I saw an ad for a new show on TV called Miracle Workers, about doctors that work with severely damaged patients. I bet that on every episode, the patient or parent thanks God rather than the doctors. And even if not, the title itself is offensive to me. Profoundly offensive. This leaves aside the whole mystery of how you can thank God for fixing a problem actually fixed by a doctor that was created by God in the first place. If you have that point of view, it steams me. It really steams me. No doubt about it. I mean, that's the whole thing about how now people are fighters. Now people thank God. But all of this stuff was done by doctors. You know, my wife, our first baby, Moxie, was a test tube baby, IVF. The next baby coming, Zoltan, our son, who will be here in a couple months, we had him, as they say, naturally. Now, why didn't they tell us that having sex worked for having babies? We could have saved $35,000. And people ask, you know, we have the new little addition going up.
Sure.
And people ask why Zoltan's room is so much bigger than Moxie's room. And the reason is that Moxie cost us $35,000 more. And so my wife, because she's very, you know, Emily's just hardcore web person, she went on to a lot of support groups for, like, IVF people, you know, women that are going through IVF. And it's amazing. These women who could not get pregnant for, you know, 8 years, 9 years, everything the natural way, could not do that every way. They go to a fertility doctor, right? The doctor gives them all these shots, goes to a test tube, fertilizes, implants, does all that stuff, all done by a doctor.
Right.
And every one of them thanks God. Oh, God finally gave us this child. No, God wanted you as barren as the moon. That's what God wanted. And the doctor came in, and medical research came in, and all this stuff came in and helped you have the child that you love rightly so much. So my wife would say on these boards, you know, it's fine, it's all well and good you're thanking God, but why don't you thank the doctors too? And you know what they would do?
Yes,
throw her ass off the board.
I've been thrown off many boards.
You have too?
I have. Not for that specifically, but for other boards, yes.
Yeah, my wife's been thrown off like four different fertility boards for just saying, why don't you thank the doctors? So I talked to our fertility doctor, I won't say the name, and I said, how annoying is it? Because obviously you're a man of science. I mean, you're not religious. you don't seem like you believe in God. And he kind of smiled and said, yeah. And I said, how do you stand it with people thanking God for all the work that people have done? I'm not saying all the work that you've done, like you're God, but all the work that humans have done for other humans. And he said, you know, in the fertility business, you just got to get over that really fast.
Yeah,
you know,
guess
that's a big part of your job, is getting over that. I mean, that's, as far as I'm concerned, all the science, the bringing people. Oh, it was all God. Thank you, God. What about me? But, of course, the doctor gets paid, and God does not. We'll be back talking more about Shaft and
cancer.
He's
doing God's work.
I'm doing God's work. That's what I'm doing.
Because he ain't doing it.
Yeah. If God did his work, we wouldn't have to. Adam Carolla is coming to my house tomorrow.
Wow.
Adam Carolla will be in the house and not in the rap sense. Adam Carolla will be at my house.
Is he bringing donuts?
He'll be sitting where you're sitting. And you'll be sitting over there where you get moved
in
to.
In the corner.
We can move to. We're going to have Gilbert Gottfried on next week, Todd Robbins next week. But Adam Carolla tomorrow. Right here in the house. I don't know that much about Adam.
I've never met him. I'm looking forward to it.
I never met him. I don't know him, but I do know that he did Love Line for a long time.
Right.
And I also know that he's an out-of-the-closet atheist. So for those of you who get sick of us talking about atheism, tomorrow's probably not the day to listen. But Adam Carolla is real funny. And we'll have fun having him on. People went crazy. You know, you bring up cancer, you bring up Shaft, and people want to write in about lobsters.
They want lobsters, yeah.
Cool with me. Have you seen the picture of the furry lobster?
I did, yes. It's furry arms, like claws.
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, it looks like Wilford Brimley. That's it, exactly.
Wilford Brimley has been mating with lobsters.
If we were drunk and met the
lobsters. I don't know how drunk you have to be. Lobsters are pretty cute.
Especially this furry one.
Yeah. And they also, they're almost in the boiling water.
They are.
They've evolved right near thermal, what is it?
Thermal vents.
Yeah, thermal vents. Isn't that also like a floor. White smoker or something?
Yeah.
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 But they're in the 8,000 feet down in the ocean.
8,000
feet. And they've
down.
Evolved right near the boiling water. It's very efficient.
If only they had evolved near the lemons and butter also, we would be set.
You could have automatic, just the lobsters could just walk in. There's no animal that does that, is there? Just leaves itself to salt, slaughter, cooks itself. Now that's what we should be doing. Instead of breeding dogs so that we have little tiny toy poodles and boxers and doing all that selective breeding, we should be breeding lobsters that live a full, healthy life and then climb down to a verbal thermal smoker, boil themselves, then go
up to the surface.
Float to the surface right near an island that happens to have lobster and a lot of cows.
in one claw, we could breed so that it tasted, one claw was like lemon, the other was like butter. You could just break them over the lobster.
Oh.
Wouldn't that be something? I was in Grenada, and you could live like monkeys in Grenada because there's food everywhere. And we hiked down this hill, and there were papayas and lime trees next to each other. What's better than papaya and lime? Papaya by itself, not so good. Lime by itself, not so good. Yet growing next to each other.
Now, is it a full balanced diet?
It's a full balanced diet for me.
You can just live down there forever?
I think you could. I had a great time. Like I said, I felt like a monkey. I was there for 6 weeks living in the forest off of fruit and fish.
A chimpanzee or a bonobo? Which do you feel like?
A little more bonobo.
You know, because if Lance gets those night vision goggles, you're on Bonobo City, Jack. There's no doubt about it. Lance and his blobby, he just have all that. I'm going to talk about this, even though I don't think anybody wants me to. Shaft. Gordon Parks died today. Yeah. Fabulous, fabulous director. Shaft was an amazing movie. I loved it. And also, the picture on the New York Times today, the front page of his portrait of American Gothic in front of the flag, the black woman with the mop and the broom, is a really touching, powerful photo. He's, Life magazine photographer. Mm-hmm. Great guy. He made a movie, Shaft. The theme song for Shaft, done by Isaac Hayes.
Yeah.
Chef on South Park. Also a Scientologist.
Right.
And a Scientologist who gave them a piece of his mind after they did the Scientology episode.
Did he? I didn't hear this story.
Well, there's no real story that I can tell about that. Let's just guess that a Scientologist...
We would assume that Chef was mad.
I think that Chef, one of the greatest songs ever written.
Yes.
Beautiful. Two wah-wah guitars. Now, don't... One wah-wah guitar, you hear it instantly. But listen again. Two wah-wah guitars, full orchestra. Who's the black private dick who's a sex machine for all the chicks? Shaft. Say, this cat Shaft is a bad mother. Watch your mouth. I'm just talking. All that stuff is beautiful. And I'm listening to this and going, this song is the perfect song. It is. It rocks. It's soulful. The lyrics are wonderful. It's what I like about theme songs, like Goldfinger, is it's exactly about the subject of the movie.
Right.
It's not like your love is a lethal weapon. That's what I hate. I hate when it's like they use the title, but it's a whole different thing.
Sure.
You know, nobody does it better. You know, it's like,
right.
Oh, nobody does it better as a lover, but the movie's about killing people. But this is perfect because it's about, he's a black private dick who's a sex machine
sure.
for all the chicks.
Sure.
Shaft! And then it's rocking along, and I'm just digging it and saying, this is the most perfect piece of music that Western music has to offer.
Yes?
Loving it. Digging it. And then comes the verse that makes me crazy. Okay.
This is where Sir Paul got involved.
And I thought when he would, I thought he would fix it. When they did the remake of Shaft,
right, sure.
I said, oh, good. Oh, wonderful. Now he's got time to fix this one little lyric glitch. He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman. He's a complicated man,
but
no one understands him but his woman. Clear as day. He's a complicated man. And
okay.
No one understands him but his woman. That's what it should be. If he's complicated, it's not. It does not contradict him being complicated that no one understands him but his woman. He's a complicated man. Therefore, no one understands him but his woman. He's a complicated man. Ergo, no one understands him but his woman. Or better yet, he's a complicated man. No one understands him but his woman. You don't need anything in there. He's a complicated man. Oh, he is? Give us an example of that. Well, no one understands him but his woman. He's a complicated man. Oh, he's very complicated. Hard to understand. Yeah, but you know, the funny thing about that is no one understands him but his woman. Why is that funny about that? Why do you have a butt in there?
Maybe it's two T's. You have missed this entirely. It's just a typo.
He's a complicated man, but.
He's a man, but.
He's a complicated man. And then there's another part of this that I'm not thrilled about. It's not as egregious as he's a complicated man, but no one understands him, but his woman. You've already got, you want a butt in there? You got a butt in there. If you want that sound, you got it. He's a complicated man. No one understands. And then the background vocals.
Yes.
The whole song, they've been going, shaft, shaft, shaft. The one time they go, John Shaft. They do John Shaft.
Right.
Once they do John Shaft.
Right.
John Shaft. He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman, John Shaft. Which sounds like he's having an affair with a woman whose name is John Shaft. Now, why couldn't it be he's a complicated man, no one understands him but his woman, Mrs. Shaft, or whatever her name is. I forgot what the name of his woman is. But it's not John. There's no John. His name is John Shaft. It's not, oh, let's invite John. Let's invite the Shafts over tomorrow night for dinner. Oh, John and John? What a lovely couple. Let's bring them over. Now, I'm not being anti-gay here. I'm sure that next year's Academy Award nominee that'll be ripped off will be two black private dicks who are sex machines for each other. I'm sure that's going to happen. It'll be like, I would do a joke now.
We're not even going to do the Brokeback Shaft.
No, we're not going to do a joke.
Sorry.
Brokeback Shaft. We won't
I knew
that
do that. Coming.
Bareback Shaft. We won't do any of that. But I'm just saying, I don't care if his woman's name is John Shaft, but we're not given that information in the movie. And then Isaac Hayes would do it wrong, you know, live, and he would do it. He would do it live, and every time I heard Isaac Hayes do it live, I'd wait for that verse. He's a complicated man. I'd say, no, no. But no one understands him but his woman. John Shaft! Oh, man. I just. And it makes me crazy because it's a beautiful song. The orchestration is beautiful. The composition is beautiful. And
it's about
and this
the
is
movie,
the part.
Sure.
It's about the movie.
Because sure.
That Lethal Weapon thing makes me nuts. When you have a theme song from a movie that takes the phrase and uses it in a different way, you know, our love is a lethal weapon. Oh, it should be, you know, the song should be Mel Gibson is crazy, does the Three Stooges, wants to kill himself, and that makes him a lethal weapon. That's what it should be. But you know, you know, Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon. He's a complicated man, but no one understands him but the black man that he's in love with, like Bruce Willis. I think I'm going to cry now. But, yeah. That before all the Gmail, before all the phones light up, no, I did not cry at Shaft. Shaft, I did not cry at. But the best thing about Shaft,
right.
And if you go into a video store and you want to rent Shaft, which you all should be doing, because, you know, Gordon Parks just died. It's a great movie. When you go into rent Shaft, just walk up to the counter. I was with Rob Pike. We rented Shaft. And we walked to the counter and said, who's the black private dick who's a sex machine for all the chicks? And the
guy behind the counter?
The guy behind the counter said nothing. He looked at us like we were crazy.
He didn't say, Shaft!
No, but no,
John
this
Shaft!
Woman who was shopping behind us just
yes.
went, Shaft! And it was just this great, great moment, you know. Who's the black private dick who's a sex machine for all the chicks? Now, Joel Hodgson.
Yes.
does the best, you know, Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Our pal Joel.
Does the best reading of Shaft. I don't know if you heard him on Mystery Science Theater. He reads the lyrics of Shaft. And I believe that Joel Hodgson, who has many comedic gifts, very funny guy. And whenever you want to say that prop comics aren't funny, you can always point to Joel Hodgson.
Mm-hmm.
Really funny.
Agent
really cool,
J.
Really cool guy. Yeah, exactly. Really cool guy. And he has this gift where he is able to ask a question as though he expects an answer. And that is all the chicks.
Right.
If I ask a rhetorical question, it always sounds rhetorical. Even questions that I have that are real sound, in my voice, rhetorical. He is able to ask any rhetorical question and make it sound real. And it kills me in The Colossal Man on Mystery Science Theater 3K, on that particular show, which is one of their best. Joel Hodgson has the line that I think is the funniest when they're talking about calling the Red Cross to get many, many more pints of blood because Colonel Manning is growing at the rate of 50 feet a day. Maybe I know too much about this movie. Doesn't matter. Stay with me on this a little bit. Joel Hodgson asks, which I believe is comedy history. Joel Hodgson said, they're all talking about calling the Red Cross. Right. You call the Red Cross. You call the Red Cross. And Joel Hodgson goes, why is everybody afraid of the Red Cross? But he asks it... See, if I asked that, it would be, why is everybody afraid of the Red Cross? It would be rhetorical. He is able to ask any rhetorical question and get you to answer it. So when Joel Hodgson, every time I look at the lyrics to Shaft, which is often, because this really pisses me off, every time I listen to the lyrics to that, I think of Joel Hodgson going, who's the black private dick? See, I can't do it. I can't do it.
He just can't even do it.
He has, as though he has an answer. Did we cover everything we promised? We promised Shaft. We promised cancer. I think we covered that.
We covered it all.
100%.
You know what we did not discuss was that, in agreement with you, the ringer on my cell phone is now F Troop. And the song is about the show.
It is. It is about the song.
About the show.
And I remember the ad. this is the punishment that God gave me. God, who hates Superman, God punished him by breaking his neck on a horse,
sure.
And punished his wife by giving her lung cancer. God punished me by making me remember everything, like all the lyrics.
Every lyric, every song.
I also remember from when I was a kid, the funniest formation of flatheads that ever befuddled a frontier fort with frantic foolery. I remember that. That was the ad on the local Springfield, Massachusetts station for F Troop, in the afternoon. And you have the theme. Did you pay for that theme?
Yes, I did, actually.
You did? Oh, cost you to have the F-Troop theme on your phone?
I think it was $1.
$1?
It was $1.
I have the Ramones, I Want to Be Sedated.
Right.
Because when I sing to my daughter now and again, which I think is probably child abuse. I'll probably be arrested for this now. But I couldn't think of what to sing, and I was holding in my arms. Right. I couldn't think of what to sing, so I sang I Want to Be Sedated by the Ramones. And now my daughter recognizes I Want to Be Sedated, and that's kind of like the lullaby I sing to her. You know, I'm singing, get me to the airport, get me on the plane, hurry, hurry, hurry before I go insane. Which, incidentally, is a song that I have no problem with the lyrics. I mean, the Ramones, I don't have problems with their lyrics. But Shaft, he's a complicated man, but no one understands him but his woman, John Shaft. Why, in that one moment, did he just go mad? Isaac Hayes started cutting his own hair, and he's bald as a billiard ball and has less hair than a lobster living near a thermal smoker at the bottom of the ocean and floating up to lemons and butter like the papayas growing near the lime trees where Michael Godot lives like a bonobo monkey while Lance Burton wears the night vision goggles to cut his hair naked because that's the price you pay to be Michael Godot. I'm going to go out with my new lover, Chris Angel, and shoot a little television. We'll see you tomorrow with Adam Carolla.